Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? This is the MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And we are back. Brand new episode. Brand new studio.
In the works.
In the works.
Yeah.
Yes, for the most part, it is going to be what it is. But we were adding in add a little bit of stuff here and there.
Yeah.
But we're back. Finally, in person.
Yeah.
You know, just last week we did a Skype interview.
Yeah.
We had Louisa Mackay.
Mackay, yeah.
Which, correction, sorry, Luis, I pronounced your last name wrong. It's Mackay, Luis Mackay.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens. Great show last week. If you guys haven't caught up on any of our past shows, make sure you catch that. But this week, we got a great show for you. We have Vanessa Campos, MMA, on-camera personality, model, athletic model. She's done cage side work, commentating work. She's on the show. She's new to the media side of things, and she's gonna talk a little bit about her experiences. We're gonna share some of ours, kind of swap stories, and then let you guys know a little bit about kind of like what it's like coming into
it's pretty
business.
much a manual, you know, how to like the experience of an MMA media person.
And especially for her in her first year of being an MMA media personality, and she's going a different direction than us, but you'll get to know everything about her and also
like we should let the people know about our show with Charles. Maybe it's online.
Yes, we forgot to mention. Yes, we are also on the Believe Network. The sports network, it's a podcast network. We are on our friend Charles Yao's podcast, The Fight Game. That's on that network, the Believe Network. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere. We talk fights, we talk some of our experiences, cultural experiences, yeah. But a little bit of everything.
Just three guys getting together.
The fight talk. It's called The Fight Game. It's on the Believe Network, but you can find it everywhere. Podcasts can be found because it's distributed everywhere.
Yeah, if you guys type in Never Make Complex on iTunes, it'll pop up right away.
Yeah, it's great. If you check on our Instagram, we shared a lot of the links to the Instagram. So that's our show for today, and then we're gonna get to Vanessa's interview shortly. But other than that, man, what's going on with you, man? And this is our first time settling into the new studio. I just moved into the house. But all in all, everything's been good now.
Yeah. I can't complain, man.
Yeah.
It's working.
Your girl got a tattoo over the weekend.
Oh yeah. Sure. Harry Potter tattoo.
How did that go?
She did really well.
She took it well, right? From what you told me, right?
Yeah. Like, I'll show you a video because I have a video of her getting tattooed by Gino.
Yeah.
No reaction at all.
Do you have a picture of it? Because maybe we can upload it here and show people.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have the picture.
We'll post it up and it will show you just right now. Right now. Okay, there. That's cool. For me, just been kicking back. Just been getting this thing ready, getting the setup. Been working on getting the show set up. And we got fights this weekend.
Yeah.
COVID. It's full swing back in some states. I just got to...
The MMA complex is expected.
COVID has finally entered our lives a little bit.
Yeah.
None of us are really infected as far as we know. But someone that we know personally was...
We knew affected. At some point this isn't happening.
And we met around the same... Yeah. But at this point, honestly, I'm not a COVID denier or anything like that. I get it's a serious thing that we need to take precautions and keep people safe. But... It's
inevitable.
I think it's inevitable, especially at this point. It's a little over. I want to say it's overblown.
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah,
and you don't know what to believe or what not to believe.
Like the numbers in terms of infection rates and death and all that. It's.
I mean, who knows?
You know, I don't know, man. I don't.
It's no. I'm with you, man. Because people can make up numbers or people can.
And we're seeing a whole prisons. Get infected.
Yeah. Like how that happened.
One death, maybe?
Yeah.
The whole freaking place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's just.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that, you know, it's inevitable for us to get it. And I mean, like, are these numbers that they throw out? I don't really buy.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's I think the numbers are can be, they fluctuate obviously from state to state, and it could be construed to
right.
the state's favor and how they want to govern their state. I think with the California, we're a little bit more stricter than others. Our numbers are still kind of down, but they're kind of starting to crack down a little bit more. The craziest thing, the scariest thing I've seen recently is how the NBA players are, they're going to manage the NBA players in the NBA season. Have you heard of the rings?
The rings, no.
Okay, so as far as I know, it's mandatory. I don't know how they allowed this to go on and how the players are allowing this to go on. I think they're trying to push it as in their favor. But it's a ring, almost like a regular band ring, like almost like a wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
But it monitors the person almost like a Fitbit.
Mm.
But if it monitors their health, so it can gauge their temperature levels, and it could let them, you know, however they're monitored, I don't know who's monitoring it. Like if they have COVID, if they're developing any symptoms, like it's somehow that ring detects, you know, illnesses bad, in their it? Body. It's not bad, but if you look at it, for me, it's more of a, it's scarier because it's they're testing it out on these athletes and they're testing it on people that have money. But the bigger picture is that if they're enforcing it and they're having people wear this, it's not necessarily an option. Eventually, I see if the panic for the this COVID thing progresses and it keeps on going, they're going to push that on people, on us.
Well, the reason why they're pushing on the players is because they're going to be playing.
They're going to be playing.
And I think that's the only reason why.
Yes,
for the safety of the other players.
But I see. I'm a little bit more, I guess, conspiratorial. But I see the government looking at that, letting the test run on these NBA players, letting them kind of, you know, tracking them, monitoring them, you know, and then these states are going to be in panic mode for however long, and they're going to be like, hey, we got these more generic versions of these rings for the public, you know. Gavin Newsom required everybody to wear one of these things, so we monitor who's going into Disneyland and who doesn't have COVID and who does have COVID, and then some, it'll sound some alarm that you can't go in because the ring.
I think it's a good thing, no? So they can like separate the people with COVID versus the people without COVID.
Yes, but it's also government oversight tracking.
Oh, that's what you
they
mean.
Know okay. where you're at. They know,
well, you know where you're
what you're doing, what you got in your body.
I mean, that's already been determined with cell phones.
Yeah, and then they have it with cell phones. Cell phones is one, but this one monitors you're wearing it. Let's say they make it by like state requires it to, you know, I don't know. It's just a bigger picture.
I don't think it's going to happen because if people aren't wearing masks, they didn't be wearing the rings.
No. Yeah, but you see like what Gavin's doing right now, he's cracking down on, and he's like, oh no, it's mandatory. They're going to start cracking down on people not wearing masks in public places like restaurants and stuff.
I doubt it. I don't see it happening.
You know?
I see it all the time. People not wearing masks.
I know, but I'm just saying that when I see that they're enforcing these on the NBA players to wear these rings, that
we gotta separate that from the general public. These guys are gonna be playing basketball for the first time with other people and sweat and all that stuff.
But I can see a version of that coming into the general public.
I mean, if it does, I don't think people are not gonna give a fuck about it. There's a bunch of people old generation or like Caucasians who talk about their freedom being taken away by these masks.
Yeah. But you're gonna see, yes, but they're still having to wear it.
Not really, because I've seen people all the time not wearing masks,
and no one tells them nothing. Me too.
So not really.
I don't think it's gonna be that easy. I think it's a long ways away. But this is one of those things. I don't like they're gonna implant a chip in you, or they're gonna do stuff like that. I think it's scary. I think, and the fact that they're enforcing it on these NBA players, I can see them, the government being like, man, let's try it on people, especially this government, them like immigrants, you know, bad. Let's track them. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to wear them. You're going to probably have people that are going to hack those things. And, you know, and let's say you get arrested and they could tell you that you have something in your system, that ring, and you try to like,
I think people for will be a protesting DUI. And not.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening where it's going to be mandatory.
yeah, I don't know. I think they'll find some loophole and catch us and get us. You know, UFC is planning on in case states shut down. You know, taking precautions for the next shutdown just in case, because a lot of these states are already talking about not opening back up. Disneyland is looking to not open back up at some, you know, when they're planned time. But I don't know. You never know with these things. Last weekend we had some fights. Cynthia Calvillo against Jessica Eye. The card overall was all right.
Very lackluster.
Very lackluster. You know, you had some decent fights on there, but for the most part, even the main event, a lot of people, this fight was heavily criticized as being not worthy of being a main event. Do you share that same?
And I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, especially in America, it's hard to get a stacked card because a lot of fighters are due fights. So I think that, and like, you might get like two, three good fights in a card, and the rest are going to be people that, A, you don't know who they are, or B, people that wouldn't be fighting on television if it wasn't for this pandemic.
So, I mean, for them, they're just looking, they're glad to fight.
Yeah, because it's hard to bring in international fighters.
Yeah.
Or big stars that aren't Americans. So they're doing what they can with these cards, and they're kind of forced their hand to put Cynthia and Jessica Eye as their main event.
And I think, and also the UFC is just they're in the business of making content. They're not in the business of making sure each fight
is stacked.
Every card is stacked, and that, you know, they don't care right now.
Yeah, especially when you're having fights every weekend. Yeah. Like, it's going to get down to like Joe Schmo versus Joe Schmo 2.
That's exactly what's going on. And then you're looking at these cards, and they're like, they don't even have time to build up.
Right.
And people are like,
yeah, because there have been times where like you see a stacked card like the following weekend, and you don't even know that it's there because, like, you forget a lot of times.
Yeah, because it's like it's one week after another.
Yeah.
And it's just that oversaturation.
And the good cards don't even get a chance to get promoted well.
Yeah. The oversaturation has always been a thing. And then the ESPN business model that they have going on with them, it's like ESPN just wants content. And UFC has got in the business of making content.
That's their partners.
You know, so
they're paying the UFC big bucks.
Yeah, and obviously when it comes to the pay-per-views, they want to get as many eyeballs as they can, but you know, with the deal that they have, they can only do so much, and the fighters and
they're kind of handicapped to do that. Yeah,
yeah. What did you think about the fight? Cynthia Calvillo, is anybody look good in this fight? I mean, I thought it was kind of lackluster. You know, like nobody.
You were hosting a party that day, so
we were paying attention to the fights. Yeah,
exactly. But with Cynthia, who now trains full time with AKA.
Her wrestling looked okay.
I mean, yeah, she beat a formal opponent, just a guy, a name, and did she look impressive? Not really. She looked good when it comes to her ground game looked good, but
yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't be praising her the whole time because I don't think it's that kind of fight. I think she got by with a good win.
Do you think she's up there in terms of the upper echelon? Is it her time now to fight the top girls in the division? Jessica is one of them.
I think she could crack the top 10, top 7.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think now with her at AKA, I think her wrestling will progress.
Yeah.
Because the guys got like Khabib and DC who can kind of train her with that. And I think, you know, DC is a big pro wrestling guy. I think he can teach her how to expose herself and kind of like put herself out there promotion wise. So I think she's in a good place right now.
I think so too. So the show overall was all right. I'm looking forward to this weekend. We're going to get to that card very soon. Just another quick news before we get to our interview with Vanessa. Rachel Ostovich accepted a 1-year suspension by USADA for testing positive. I guess it was a tainted supplement. Let's see. Osterin and GW1516 metabolites were found in her system. she took a tainted supplement, probably knowingly, or she didn't register it with USADA, and it came out positive. So she's going to be out for about a year. It's for her.
It's perfect time to get popped during a pandemic.
Work on her social media game. She's doing pretty well for herself. I mean, follow her.
Look at that body. You know, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. For this weekend, before we get to the card itself, Curtis Blaydes was asked about fighter pay. And he had some very interesting things to say about fighter pay. A lot of it was saying that the UFC knows that the money's there and to not treat us like idiots. He's like, we are getting this percentage currently right now. We could be getting this percentage. And if you look at other sports leagues, they get almost 50% of the revenue that comes in, as the UFC fighters get less than
zero.
Yeah, less than 20.
I think they get 18%.
18%, something like that. And so he's been very outspoken when it comes to fighter pay. I didn't think he would ever, especially during a fight week, to be like that. Top level fighter that's making the rounds and giving his thoughts on the UFC and calling them out. And this is a number of guys. You count them more on one hand now.
I think Curtis Blaydes is the big fighter when it comes to hardcore. I think the casual fans would probably
he's not, know, he's not know Connor, who he is. Yeah. Like that.
I think it's a good thing, but I mean, this whole thing isn't realistic unless there's a union.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, are you guys going to keep complaining and not do anything about it? Yeah. There has to be something to be done. But so they can say and talk about all they want, but unless they actually do something about it, things aren't going to change. And this is why the UFC does business, you know, the way they do, is because they know they can get away with it, and they know that there's no union involved, and they know that they don't have any obstacles in front of them, so they can keep doing what they're doing to make money and treat these guys like circus employees.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, yeah, I think it unless this leads to some type of union or association or somebody that can speak on fighter pay and work and negotiate on their behalf, it's just all talk. It's just everybody looking to get their hand in the pot. And Dana White's going to come up with excuses all day because he's got them under contract, and you know.
And believe me, he has excuses to the end of time.
Yeah. So that's another thing.
It's frustrating to watch.
It's frustrating. It's sad to see because you know these guys deserve it, and you want to see them being treated.
You want to see them doing well, but it takes two to tango. Like they got to do their part. They can't just complain and expect things to change.
Yeah, and he was saying a lot of them, you know, a lot of these guys like himself have had jobs while being in the UFC, and they need to make ends meet, and
because it doesn't pay enough. I mean, it's bad enough that the UFC took away their sponsorships, you know.
And he brought up everything. How do you expect people to want to come into the sport? How do you expect to keep people in the sport? How do you, you know, you got? He was going hard on the UFC.
Yeah, good. And I mean, do something about it now, Curtis.
Yeah, no, everybody, you top fighters, you guys need to do something about it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our guest. It's a good interview, a long interview.
Long.
and we wanted to get to it right away so you guys can enjoy it and just get right to it. So it's Vanessa Campos, MMA commentator, on-camera personality. And she's new to the media side of the game. Mm-hmm. And this is for all those who are looking to get into the business.
Yeah, I think your notebook is out.
So we'll give we're giving our take on podcaster, you know, media side, more digital. And then she's more of like the on-air camera person. So, because she's very good looking and, you know, we're not. So,
pretty much.
So she's got a whole different avenue. We shared sport stories and advice. So enjoy.
Two, three. Vanessa Campos, thank you for coming on our show, at least, and your show, and then we're going to share this information here and all this in this video, but it's been great getting to at least connect with you, and you know, how are you? How is everything? Let the fans, you know, let the people watching, you know.
I'm so excited to be here, guys. Thank you for this. I mean, you guys have like a real like studio down there. Like, looks so cool.
Thank you. We do what we can. No, you have a nice guitar there. You have some nice shelving. I like it. <It's okay. laughs> I think I have those same curtains. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, London. So I'm based here in London, and quarantine here has been crazy. I mean, like, just, no one knew, no one expected this was going to happen, right?
Right, not at all.
How bad is it compared to other places you've been to?
Quite bad. Like, we live in an area where it's quite saturated with COVID-19. They're very close to the hospital as well. Oh. So we have to be very careful when we're out and about. So it's quite tough. But you know what? You still have to live your life and everything else. And I just think everyone just needs to be cautious. And it is what it is. How are you guys there?
It's not too bad. I mean, pretty much everything here opened up.
Almost opening up. Yeah. Restaurants and stuff like that are opening up. Certain bars and, you know, gyms are starting to open up. But your fiance, right? I read that your fiance is in the medical field. Is he a doctor?
Yes, he's a doctor. Yes. Yeah.
So you're on the front lines, huh? Right.
Yeah. He's amazing. And
Oh, tell him we said thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'll let him know. He's gonna be watching this.
So. Oh, really? Nice.
So yeah, it's you know, we need all the help that we can get. So he was actually in an Irish hospital, uh-huh, and he's being transferred to the London-based hospital. So, you know, as I said, we need all the help that we can get. So we're just being really cautious as much as we can.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And now let's talk about you a little bit. You're MMA presenter. You've done some cage side work. I've seen that. That was great. You know what? I was watching some of your interviews, especially your on camera, like in person. You know, it's great.
Yeah, really good.
Cool.
Really good
job.
You know? Yeah. Like, really impressed with, like, especially since you're under a year doing this, right? Or
yeah, because most people struggle with it. And like it, like with you, it seems like it's
very natural.
Slow. Yeah,
very natural.
What? Really? Come on, guys. Come on.
We were talking about it. We've been doing this for 5 years now, but we know natural. You know, when people come out very natural, and how you know, we know good. Recognizes real, and you can see that you're well on your way to becoming a big thing.
Oh, thank you guys. Oh, thank you. That makes me smile. Thank you. You guys too. I mean, you guys are just really both good tandem, like good communication. That's what it is, you know.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
So talk about your experience. Like, I know you know, I read a couple articles that were written on you, and I've done my little research on you. You know, I know you trained SBG, and you actually had some kickboxing matches, at least one or two, right?
I did, yes.
Training martial arts, your martial arts and your kicking and all that is top notch. I can't even lift my leg up half as high as you.
Yeah.
But, and I know you got into MMA, so talk about your journey up until this point. I mean, I threw a little bit out there, but you go ahead, take it over.
Absolutely, yes. So I originally came from Toronto, Canada.
Yeah.
And I decided to look for martial arts gyms, the best ones in Europe. I was like, okay, what's the best one out there? I was like, okay, SBG, Conor McGregor, this is amazing, John Kavanaugh. Okay, let's go there. So I went there, and it was just a crazy atmosphere, like top of the top, pros of the pros. I mean, you see Bellator fighters, you know, Peter Quigley, Pedro, everybody, and Artem Lobatov, Bare Knuckle FC, and I, you know, seeing McGregor there train, it was just insane. It blew my mind at the top level. And there's me, like, knowing nothing about martial arts, like nothing.
Yeah.
And I trained doing the wrestling classes, even, you know, seeing the pros do it. And wrestling for me is so tough. The first lesson, I actually sprained my arm. Something happened. I don't know. I did it like bad. It was just bad.
Oh, wow.
But I was really determined to learn. So then my coach, Carl, their Muay Thai head coach, he's incredible. He taught me all the skills, how to kick, how to punch, and everything. And then I fought a K-1 bout in Belfast.
Uh-huh.
And
that's crazy. So how long before you fought, like when you first walked into
training?
3 months in.
Wow. 3 months. That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's me, quick.
Because Josh and I went to Harfield Cordello School at King's MMA.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think the first two classes, I was dying, man. It's crazy. I don't know. In 3 months, you could be already fighting.
Yeah.
And we're in the car for like 20 minutes, scared out of our ass.
Sorry?
Inside. I was saying that Josh and I were in the parking lot before going into our first class, just scared out of our minds. And knowing that you just went there and 3 months later you're fighting.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's impressive.
Why were you scared though?
Like, but yeah, Sissy Lala, that's why.
I think just it's a intimidating thing going into
a pro gym
like that, at that level, and having like those classes with an instructor like that, it's just intimidating. You're like, all right, let's do this.
It's the Hafia Cordello, you know.
Yeah. But it was but that's crazy. So you did it 3 months, and how do you feel like the getting in there and experiencing that in the ring? Was it nerve wracking? Did it all just kind of go away and your skills just kicked in, or how did it go?
It was crazy because I was supposed to be there as a presenter. So this is how it happened. I was just supposed to be there to start like interviewing fighters. And bear in mind, I haven't done presenting or anything yet. So it's just beginning. And then my coach, Carl, was like, hey, you know, there's a girl that dropped out. Do you want to fight? I was like, at the same show I'm supposed to be presenting?
No, man.
So I actually fought and was so crazy and nerve-wracking. And I actually had to interview my opponent after.
Did you really?
No way.
Yes. I have a clip of it, too.
Like, we just have, like, oh, like, tough luck, but what happened? Or,
exactly. Crazy. I was like, so how is it kicking me? Like, how is it like beating me up? How is it?
That's crazy. Wow.
That must have been awkward.
Yeah,
it was fun though. It was fun. I do want to fight again, but like, you know, presenting, it seems to be my route. So, but the fighting spirit's still there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, look like
you. So in terms of the presenting part, I know you saw, I read that you also like Megan Levy. And it was something that you thought that you could actually do, you know. And I just seen, based on what I've seen of your work, I thought for sure you can do it. Mm-hmm. You've been doing it, or at least for this time being. And it's really great. So, talk about getting the guts to actually start the grind, putting yourself on camera, being okay with that. Talk about all that experience for you and how did that, you know, come about for you.
For sure, yeah, it was definitely super scary. I had like the old iPhone too, back a few months ago. I didn't even change it. I think it was still iPhone 5. I don't even remember. Oh, wow. I didn't even know how to use a camera, video camera. I didn't know anything. So I Googled it. I YouTubed it. I was like, how do these bloggers, so how I started was, how do bloggers become so confident in the camera? So really my point of view was, taking a blogger type of presenting to the main screen.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did Bellator Dublin and London media days, I would just bring my phone as like a vlogger kind of thing. So it wasn't even like a proper mic on mic.
Right.
So that's really how, and then I saw Megan Levy and I was like, nah, this girl takes it to the next level. She's queen. She's queen.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Because it's difficult to like get used to the whole camera thing. I know Josh and I kind of struggled with that in the beginning. It's like, with you, like you're attractive. So I'm sure it's like nothing, but with me and Josh, we're a bunch of,
we have to like worry about like, like how do we look on camera? Yeah.
Oh my
God.
Like with me,
you know,
I say, you add spice to the camera.
Yeah.
And how was it being there with other media members? Cause I know going in as a media person, it's intimidating having those other people around you,
yeah, especially the big
that names, are a little bit more seasoned. Mm-hmm. So talk about that, your nerd.
Pete C. Carroll with MMA Fighting, I saw him there and I was like, oh my God, that's the famous guy. That's the guy with the podcast. And there's me, newbie, the only girl in the media side, by the way.
Yeah.
At this time. Yeah. This was in SBG, and they were doing like a private media day for the upcoming Bellator London, I believe that was.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Peter Gallagher was there, everybody was there. And then there's me. And then I had to like interview all these amazing fighters. I mean, I knew them by seeing them train.
Yeah.
And then when all these media guys come in, BBC Sports, and all these guys, they're like with these huge cameras, with the mics, like super like techie. And then there's me with the phone. And I'm just like,
that was us. So that's in the first couple of years.
Yeah, we went in there with a regular DSLR camera. We had a mic, like an audio recorder mic, because at one point when we first started the podcast, it was just pure audio. And then we knew that we wanted to transition into video and incorporate that into the show too, and have a website and look somewhat professional and get on our way to it. So I can sympathize in terms of like going there for the first few times and seeing media people that are just
the best, like,
and feeling camera. Like you're unworthy, you know, and like I'm just an imposter, you know what I mean? But it's I think that we all kind of start there, and and you're right at that first, you know, year, and it takes getting used to, but it's
absolutely
I think the more you're improving, at least for us, the more we improve, always trying to improve, observing others around you and how they operate, ask questions, and just experimenting all the time and like trying different things, I think is,
yeah, because a lot of times those big time media guys are really friendly,
yeah,
and we become friends with a lot of those guys,
yeah.
So yeah, just
have you got interacting with other media people, how do you feel like the interactions have been? Have they been friendly? Have they been welcoming?
Yeah, they've been absolutely great. They've been so helpful. There was Simon at BT Sport that I met, and it was like the first people that I met the media scene. And he was just like, oh no, sit here. This is what you do. This is the best angle. And I was like, oh my God. Okay, cool. But like you guys, how do you guys get your, like credentials, like the two of you, right?
Yeah, it's the two of us.
I'll give you like a brief story. Like,
yeah.
So Josh and I were the biggest fanboys ever. Like we would like
we go to all the fights.
We go to all the fights. We go to the hotels. We would stalk the fighters.
Oh my!
We'd be there for like 5 hours and wait for the and so like became a
we would get where, the info yeah. where everybody's gonna be.
Yeah, got to the point.
This is like years ago though.
Yeah. So got to the point where we started making friendships with these fighters, coaches, and so we started knowing people, so we started doing our own show, and
yeah,
we already had some contacts and relationships that we built in the past, and so we had those people be our first guests, and from there we kind of built,
and yeah,
here we are now.
And I think I when I came back, because I had an internship with the UFC, so I'd worked with them on their website, so I did that for a little bit, and the first day I came back, my first weekend back in LA, we started the podcast, and I was like, because I was like, I don't want to like, you know, I still want to be a part of the sport. Our whole main goal was to be a part of the sport in some way, somehow, some shape or form. I don't care what it is. Obviously the ideal goal is to, you know, make it a living and do it professionally. But, that was our whole thing. And we did our first episode our first guests were just mainly contacts of like who we've met across the way and like, friends and that was it. And then we did what you do, and I think what is great about this sport is that a lot of these fighters are accessible, and they if you reach out to them, a lot of times they'll reach out back out to you.
It's not like the NBA where you're trying to interview Kobe or like a big name with, you know, like, there's no how chance in how they get an interview with those guys.
You have to go through a PR.
Yeah. Has it been like that for you? What's your experience interacting with fighters and getting guests on your projects or getting, you know, any of that?
Yeah, no, they're super friendly and super good. You know, you just have to work around their schedule.
Yeah.
Now that it's quarantine, there's not much to do for fighters.
Yeah.
So it's actually the best time for media to really go out there.
Yeah,
it is.
That's what we thought when we first got quarantined. Like, this is a perfect time to really start doing what we want to do. And exactly. Everybody's at home. Nobody's training really. So let's go after them. Let's get some people on here. Make it interesting. Let's experiment.
Exactly.
At some point, do you want to stick with fighting or do you want to stick with doing your commentary? Are you going to do both the best worlds?
It would be great to do best of both worlds, but you have to commit 100% to anything that you do, right, to be, become a champion. So I think I want to stick more on the presenting commentating side. But I still train, you know, I still train just to learn more about the sport. My ground game is really bad. So like I need to learn more jiu-jitsu and wrestling, judo. So yeah, Fight Zone London that I train here in Fight Zone has been amazing. They're under the Checkmat BJJ here.
Yeah,
so
we have some of those
they're really, really. I'm even learning just about the history of jiu-jitsu. Like, it was crazy, you know?
That's awesome.
Now, you're commenting, you did some cage work, some cage side work. How was that? How was that? Did you enjoy that?
Was actually so fun. So you're not on camera, right? You're just behind the scenes. You have this big, huge headphones. And bear in mind, the event that I did was with MCP Greece. This is in Greece. Mm-hmm. And I was the English commentator, and next to me were the Greek commentators. The fights and people chanting are all in Greek. I don't know any Greek.
Oh my God.
So I was like, okay, what is happening? I just have to stick to the sport, what I know about the sport. And so, you know, I'm like talking, and next to me is like the Greek commentators, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm just going to do what I see.
Oh my God.
How did you get approached for that gig? How did that come about?
Yeah, I met Tony Christodoulou, who was a previous UFC fighter, Greek fighter, and he was like, hey, I can't commentate for this now. Would you want to take over? And I was like, me commentate in Greek? I was like, I don't speak Greek.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, you're going to do the English version. I was like, okay, cool. I told them, look, I'm more of a stand-up fighter, so my ground game is... As I said, I'm still learning. So, they were understandable, and it was just so much fun. Like, I actually really enjoyed commentating.
Crazy. Yeah, because Josh and I had an opportunity to judge fights at a Bellator. That was super fun.
Yeah. The Bellator, at one point, it was over here in San Jose in California. They invited media members, only a handful of us, to
mock judge.
To kind of mock judge. We sat next to judges.
Before then, like, we took a class with John McCarthy.
Took a class with Big John McCarthy.
Yeah,
who went over rules and how to do everything, how to go, what to look for, and then they
go.
Yeah. Sorry, the connections. Okay, good connections.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like
okay,
it's
it went out real quick. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so that whole experience of mock judging, I thought that was great, and being cage side, it's a great experience, and I think. When you're at an event and you're attending an event, and do you when you first go in, are you excited to be there? Like, is it like you're looking around at the rafters and the fights and
people were there?
Yeah. We do that. We I don't know. That's for me. I'm speaking for myself.
I do.
I enjoy it every time.
I fanboy each and every time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I can't sleep the night before. Like, if I know I have an event to go to, a fight to report, commentate, whatever, I can't sleep the night before. Wow. And it's, once you get there, it's like your heart pumps, right? Just like what you guys said, you fanboy, you just can't help it. This is what MMA does to people, you know. It gets people excited, it gets people, you know, tear down their emotion. It's a sport like no other.
Right. Now, I was curious, when you first went to the SPG gym, were you like fangirling so much inside that you couldn't really train? Like, you wanted to go over there and get autographs or pictures rather than train?
Yeah, that was my first. It's like, but I was like, no, I must be professional. Be treated professional. I must train there. It's so. And then, Blaine, he is a Brave MMA fighter, actually. And he signed with Bellator now. He was my first sparring partner. And, you know, I see this guy and I'm like, okay, this guy's definitely like pro. But, you know, I didn't know fighters then. I didn't know their names. I didn't really know.
Right.
And then we're like, we're sparring. And then I'm like, whoa, that kick really hurt. I was like, who is this guy? And then I figure out he's like a pro fighter. And I'm like,
oh my God. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's good. So, and you grew up in the Philippines. Now, talk to us about a little bit about your upbringing, like your childhood, your schooling. Like, personally, I know it's a loaded question, but like, you know, just a little about your person, like, you know,
your origin story.
Yeah, your origin story.
My origin story. I want to be like Moana kind of thing. My origin story. I'm an islander from Cebu, Philippines. It's a beautiful island. You guys should go visit. Look at me like selling it.
I hope so. That'd be nice.
Especially after this quarantine.
Yeah. A nice vacation like that would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love it there. And we decided to move abroad because of my dad's job. Mm-hmm.
What did your dad do?
He's an engineer.
Okay.
Oh,
nice.
Hello?
Yeah.
So, you know, he works with Mitsubishi. So, you know, we travel around everywhere. He speaks fluent Japanese, actually, because Mitsubishi is a Japanese company.
Yeah.
I never learn any Japanese. So, no. Toronto happened. And I actually studied architecture there. Mm-hmm. So complete shift. I studied architecture. And I was like, I prefer talking to people than, you know, making buildings.
Yeah,
right.
I took a leap of faith, went to Europe, and that's what happened.
That's crazy. From like being an architect to like an immigrant presenter. I was like two different ends of the world right there.
And you're also modeling too. Did the modeling come before? Were you modeling before younger, or like at some point, or did this all happen around the same time?
It all happened, yeah, pretty much. So I was scouted on Instagram, believe it or not. When I was doing my fighting, they were like, hey, we'd really like a fighter, you know, fighter model kind of thing. Would you be interested? And they're my agency, Fork Models. I love them. They are my agent. They're great. And so they take on athletes that have like model-like features that really know the sport. Like, for example, if Nike wants a tennis player, they're gonna get a tennis player who has that model physique. So and that's what they do, and then that's great, rather than just getting a good looking guy with a six pack who doesn't know anything about tennis.
That makes sense.
And then and what about your boyfriend? How'd you guys meet?
Or fiance?
Yeah. Fiance, sorry.
Did you meet over there in the Philippines? Is that where you met him? Or
No. So he studies medicine in Ireland. This is also why I moved. It wasn't just for, of course, martial arts and martial arts.
He scored,
arts
man. A doctor? Jeez. He scored. Say you love him for the rest of your life, you'd be good.
Exactly. I'd be good. You know, I just realized, like, we really need doctors. Like, yes, we do take them for granted for, like, you know, sometimes fighters are like, oh, I don't want to get my concussion check. I don't want to get this. But at this time of pandemic, we need doctors.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Everybody it's doesn't want to see the doctor and doesn't want to get diagnosed with something until a pandemic happens. Yeah. And then we can't wait to go see the doctor.
I mean, even now, it's become like the ghost, or like the people are scared of the doctor. Even now.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Wait, what do you mean they're scared of doctors? Fighters, do you mean?
Well, I think people are just don't like getting told that they have something wrong with them. You know how people are. I don't know. It's like, like going to the dentist. People just don't like going to the dentist because they just don't want to deal
with that pain.
They don't brush their teeth. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or like they're the pain, or I don't like needles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And you guys, your love lives, how is that like merging into MMA life?
You know what? Yeah, I'm married with the baby. I have a year and a half old son.
That's so cute.
I'm boring. I only have a girlfriend.
He's got a girlfriend. He's got a long-time girlfriend, too. Well, at first, it was like you got to coordinate with your significant other. You got to be like, hey, I got an event this weekend I got to cover. And for a while there, past like maybe we've been doing this 5 years, I say 4 out of the 5 years, you had a very busy schedule. We had a very busy schedule. Yeah,
so the second and third year we got really busy.
So for the first 4 years, I would say the schedule of fights and all that was very, you know, it was busy. So we had a fight almost every month.
Yeah.
Past year or so, wow. Luckily, since my sons came in the picture, the fights in Southern California and around the surrounding areas have kind of like, you know, they've been a little bit more manageable. You know, I guess it's not that good, but, you know. It's,
all right, no, good. That's really good.
Okay.
I mean, it's so cute that you have a son.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the schedule was busy at first. You had to coordinate with your significant other and make sure that your home is situated so you can leave and go to the fights. And luckily the fights lately in the past year or so have been kind of like, they've slowed down a bit.
Yeah.
At least in our area. So it's been a little bit more manageable, but you know, balancing this life and also full-time work, because we also have full-time jobs.
What do you guys do?
I'm a hotel manager.
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a nurse.
He's a nurse, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God. You're on the front line. What are you
talking about?
Yeah. Dude, wait, excuse me. Thank you.
I don't do anything crazy, so trust me.
But you know what? I think this is our love, this is our passion.
Yeah. So no matter how busy we get, this is going to be our first priority.
Yeah, we make it work.
Yeah, we make it work.
And then hopefully.
How do you guys balance the work schedule and, you know, putting out interviews, going to events? Like, how does that work for you?
It's a lot of communication, the planning, knowing each other's schedule for the week.
Yeah.
Like, we check with each other's schedule, like, every week.
Yeah, it's weekly. Are you busy this day? Hey,
what's your week look like? What you got going on?
That's so cute.
If it helps, and it's nice in a lot of ways, because we can, you know, if somebody has something going on, because I moved to a new place. So that whole week, I could not do anything. So, you know, and I had to let him know that, and then, you know, coordinate that with the show. And
yeah.
So it's a struggle, how are you finding it? How are you finding struggling your home life?
Your love life?
Obviously we're in COVID now, but your home life, your love life, and, you know, your career ambition, like is it, and these fights and interviews and all that. How was it managing that for you?
Yeah, for sure. So it's a bit different because, you know, we're freelancers, as you know, you're a freelancer, yeah. I'm a freelancer. So it really depends on where things go and where, you know, I'm London based, so there's not always fights all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, compared to America.
Yeah.
You guys are blessed. Like, you guys have fights every weekend, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we have Cage Warriors here, Brave MMAs only sometimes once a year come here. I mean, Bellator is coming more often to Europe, so it's great. But, you know, there's only very select fews. So what I found a bit more interesting is all these other European organizations that are not getting mentioned in the media, like MCP Greece, you know, Spanish MMA organizations. I think that is kind of like my target in the future.
That's how we do. Yeah.
That's really good.
Because a lot of times those small shows get you inside, and you go to like your experience on that, and then you slowly graduate to the Bellators and UFC stuff.
That's exactly what we went. We went the exact same model where we're like, we're gonna try to go for our local promotions here, hopefully the big ones when they come along, and even fighters. Just talk to upcoming fighters that have a 0-2 record or a 2-0 record, and are just coming up. They just broke out from their amateurs, you know, and they're now first turning pro, and talk to them. And we've actually had the fortunate, you know, to talk to a few people that have done, you know, big things and have gone on their way to, you know,
like the UFC and stuff,
like UFC and Bellator and stuff like that. So it's nice talking to those people when they're barely at the ground level.
And then with us too, like, we didn't just stick with MMA. We did boxing, we did kickboxing.
That's another good thing. I don't know if you ever considered that. We covered jiu-jitsu competitions, kickboxing competitions, because it's mixed martial arts. So you can bring talk to those fighters, because there's elements of those in the sport.
That's true.
So that's another thing to consider.
Yeah, because a lot of times in jiu-jitsu, you got the big guys from MMA doing jiu-jitsu competitions on the weekends.
Yeah.
True.
So you still get to talk to the big names, but and it's probably that easier way to get in.
That's something to look out for too, is that you can talk to those promotions too.
Good. That's a good idea. Yeah, no, I definitely was. After this COVID,
over. Yeah. And fighters, like, have you talked to any fighters that you've, like, when you're talking to them, asking questions, I'm sure as time goes on, you're going to have your set of questions that you know your go-to questions. But, you know, sometimes you have to do the research. Sometimes they don't want to talk to you, mm-hmm. especially during weight cutting or fight week.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst. So what are your experiences talking with fighters and who are some of your favorites? Who are the, you know, I'm not sure that you're not going to mention the ones that you don't like, but.
I love them all. They're all great. I've had very various, you know, experiences through these fighters. What I found is the weight cutting, bad idea. But the thing is, that's like media week. That's where all the media comes in. Right? You know, when they're cutting. Well, I was like, why do they plan it that way?
I know. It's so inconvenient.
So your interactions with them, like, have they been positive mostly?
Yeah, they have. They've been really great, and most of them are super tall. So what I found the most difficult is to strengthen my arms. I've been working on strengthening my arms. So when you can carry the mic, like, you're not like shaking, you know?
Yeah.
How tall are
That's
you?
That's what I found.
You want me asking?
I'm super short. I'm like 5'4", maybe shorter. Oh, okay. I don't know.
You look taller on camera.
You guys are pretty. It's modeling tricks. You know, you got to deceive the camera.
At some point, do you want to like come to America, or are you okay with just staying in Europe?
No, I would love to go to the States. Like,
come to California.
I mean, my family misses me in Toronto. Definitely, I'd join you guys. the trios.
Yeah.
I would definitely love to come. That's the plan. Like, again, it depends on my fiance, how everything kind of dies down here. And it's about licensing as well. You know, it's different licenses, U.S. Right. As you know, you're a nurse. Right. It's different license for you to come here. But I really want to go to the States. I want to actually go to L.A.
Yes, you're right.
So, I know. That's where all the things are happening. Come on. The hottest girls are in L.A. The hottest... People are in LA, like media, how does like everything, food in LA. Oh my God, food is amazing there. Don't get me started. I see them.
Yeah,
the options, a lot of options, a lot of culture.
Yeah.
So when's the wedding?
And you guys still stay so fit.
Yeah.
No, it's a struggle.
It's a struggle.
Yeah.
When's the wedding?
We're waiting. We're hoping it's in the Philippines, but again, with all the time, he's super, you know, busy, so we don't really know when is when.
Okay.
But it is what it is, you know. And he actually also fights. So he fought in SBG as well.
Nice.
He was training in SBG. So he's my occasional sparring partner. So it's great.
Even better.
That's great.
It's an arm lock and a kiss.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I choked you. Okay.
Yeah. we've talked about a little bit of our experience, but in terms of like starting out in this business and your career, like, have you been approached already by, you know, people wanting to break into it? And what has been your advice to them that what you've seen the because your experience will probably be different from ours. So, what are the negatives? What are the struggles? And what are some of the positives that you've noticed so far?
Yeah. I was actually surprised that people are reaching out. I'm like, wow, I'm so new. I'm like a baby in this. Yeah. But yeah, here are my tips. There's more positive than negative, right? So what I found is, what I really like about it is that they're so empowering women, female fighters, in this sport more than any other sport that I've found. So that's the one thing that I think is so accepting for female media, female fighters about it. I was scared at the beginning to start fighting because I'm a female, or to even start doing media because I'm a female. But people have been really welcoming. The negative side of that is, if you're not business savvy, you're not going to get anywhere in MMA.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Yeah, but yeah, you're right.
That's what I found.
Yeah.
As you guys said, that you guys were connecting with fighters from the beginning. You guys were that's how you started it.
Start networking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a big part of it is just doing it, just going out there. And like, we've been asked a couple of times by people like that have like, oh, are you media? How did you start? And I'm like, we just got a camera, we got a mic, and just started. Just
persistence just is persistence. What it is. Persistence, I mean, and commitment.
And there's ups and downs. There's a lot of times where you
feel discouraged.
You feel discouraged, especially as you know, you're looking for that success, and it comes, and then it goes away, and then it comes, and it goes away, and it's like you think it's gonna turn it around, and it's just a constant. It's a marathon, I would say. And so for some people though, it might not be. I think for everybody, it's different. For your situation, it may not be a marathon, it may be a sprint, and you get to where you want to be pretty quick, or you know, who knows?
Yeah,
who knows? I think everybody's journey is going to be different, though.
Yeah, I think with us, like, for us to even just be at a fly fight and watch a fight with people that we look up to, that's our benefit. So, like, no matter if we get big or small, the fact that we get to be around people that are in the business is a blessing in itself.
Yeah. Exactly. And honestly, I just want to learn, like, how fighters do what they do. Like, that's really how I started, because I was so curious about martial arts. I wanted to learn how to, you know, kick. I wanted to learn, I still do, like, how the hell do you do an armbar? Like, how do you do that? Like, that's what I still learn. And that's the beauty of the sport, because it's never-ending learning. You know, you're constantly learning. You don't know who the next star is. And that's the great thing.
And are you watching the fights at all during this whole quarantine? Because I know at least the UFC is putting on events, yeah.
Okay, let me just tell you, there's just too many. I can't keep up.
Every weekend is a different
Even fight. During quarantine, there's events, right? Yeah.
What is happening? Like, I look at social media, I'm like, what? This is happening? What? And then Fight Island was like, oh, Fight Island wasn't happening. Oh, and then Fight Island's happening. Oh, where's Fight Island going to be? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you guys coping with this? How are you guys coping with watching all the fights with work?
It's making this whole quarantine a lot easier for sure. It gives us things to talk about.
A reason to drink.
A reason to drink. A reason to just have fun on the weekends. You know what I mean?
Sponsored by beer company at the bottom.
That would be nice. Some of your favorite fighters, do you have any out there?
I have loads, but one of my top female ones has to be Joanna. She's incredible. And I haven't met her yet. I haven't interviewed her yet. So one day, I mean, I interviewed her coach, Daru Strong, her SNC coach, who's amazing, you know, who trains Dustin Poirier, Jezzy Matuda, like everybody. I want my style to be like Joanna. Fighting style, because she's amazing.
She's a little firecracker.
Yeah.
Those kicks.
She's like a small package, but like you can just, she's like a Pokemon, you know, like.
Exactly, yeah.
All right.
Who are your favorite fighters?
I was a big Anderson Silva guy back in the day, but right now, Max Holloway is probably like my guy right now.
Okay. I would say, when I first got into the sport, I would say BJ Penn. I was a big BJ fan. Still am. Yeah, he's not in the game anymore, really. What else? Nowadays, though, probably Israel Adesanya. I like him. I like a lot of the welterweight division in the UFC. You have like Gilbert Burns is like people like that. It's so many fighters out there.
Beast. And to think he's so young too. I was like, this guy is incredible. His jiu-jitsu game is like top.
Yeah. So it's guys like that that really excite me and make me, you know, watch the sport like I do. So
cool.
Favorite female fighter? I would go with.
Yeah, you didn't mention a female.
Yeah, who's a female?
That's tough.
Well, you know, we're really big buds with Alima McFarlane from Bellator.
Yeah, she's a good friend of ours. So I say Alima.
And she's great. No way! I would say Alima because as a person she's great, and as a fighter she's great. So I'll say Alima. As a female, I like Valentina Shevchenko. Oh, that is great. Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. Who else? Feels good. Amanda Ribas is new to the UFC. I thought she's pretty good. She's fighting Paige next month.
Oh yeah,
I thought that's a good one. She's a good fighter.
That would be interesting. Did you ever get Antonina and Valentina confused at the beginning?
Like their names, maybe. Yeah, but they don't look alike. They don't look. One's got a nice tan, and another. Yeah,
another one's completely white.
I ask other fighters or like other media person, like, oh, who are you betting on this time? We're like, oh yeah, the sister. I'm like, which sister? Like, oh, that one. Which one? They can't really name it. I get the names wrong.
The names are the biggest thing. Names are the biggest thing.
Do you also research the fighters, of course, before you interview them or before an event, right?
Oh,
We do. Yeah, bios, go to do their fight.
Read articles.
Wikipedias, watch some interviews on them. Yeah, and sometimes with those newbie fighters, there's not a lot out there. So you kind of have to...
Yeah.
Basic of the basic questions.
Yeah, you have to have a foundation of basic questions that you kind of want to get to know a person about their fighting, about their personal life. And then, you know, whatever you can find, sprinkle in there. And sometimes you get to know a lot more and that it just comes out through the interview. So
yeah, because a lot of times, like, people want to see their characters, so just gotta like ask questions to have their character come out to the public.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what
your process. Yeah.
Yeah, the up and coming fighters are the hardest because there's nothing out there in the internet.
Yeah.
So it's
how's your process when researching? Do you research? Do you spend like the night before, or how do you do it?
Yeah. Exactly. It depends on like how many there are in the card, right? Yeah. So yeah, it's usually, you know, a few days before, figure out who's, you know, main card and all that. And then the fighters that are usually in the prelims, early prelims, they don't really have data. So that's where I'm still struggling how to make questions around that, actually, to tell you the truth. So
I've seen what we've done is that we find what we can find, get information we can find on them, and then we look at how, depending on who the person is and maybe their fighting style or their discipline, you can kind of look at other interviews from other people and kind of gauge on how to approach a fighter like that. Like if it's a jiu-jitsu person, what the questions you kind of should be gearing towards, or what you should be really asking. That's what we found.
Yeah,
That's a good tip. You guys should do mentor, like you should like mentor a Zoom class of like all these
people. I feel like we've had so much trial and error in this thing.
We had some pretty bad ideas where Friday's kind of walk away from us. Yeah,
it's been early on. There's been a lot of trial and error, even just technically, like with technology, because technology never works for you. It's almost always working against you. And, you know,
absolutely.
And researching what's the most affordable, best equipment to buy, to use, what's necessary, what's not. Have you done a lot of that? Like, in terms of your outlets, have you considered, I don't know if you're doing podcasts, I've seen you do interviews on Instagram and you putting out like almost whole interviews on Instagram. I've seen me with Royce Gracie.
Yeah.
Luis Mackay on there, who, honestly, it wasn't for your interview. I pronounced her last name correctly. You did. I saw that. We didn't pronounce it correctly when we talked to her. And that's another challenge when you're talking to fighters.
Yeah, our last names.
It's figuring out how to pronounce their names, and it's best to ask. This is best to always ask.
Absolutely. I'm just going to tell the truth. I Googled the names, and I'm going to ask Google how to say the names.
That's a good idea.
That's a good tip right there. Yeah.
Should do it.
Just go on YouTube and
try to see how other people pronounce their names. Like if it's
that's smart too, but that's gonna take a long time.
That's what takes a long time. Yeah that takes a long time.
That takes a long time. But yeah.
And other you're out, like, I don't know if you have a podcast or do you have a YouTube channel that you're focusing on?
Yeah, so I don't really know how podcasts work, to be honest, because I'm really bad with technology too. Yeah. When I saw you guys, I was like, podcast? People are saying interviews on podcasts, and I'm I'm like, what's the difference? You're still interviewing, but is it like less on the camera, just more listening, right?
It's pretty much like a show.
Yeah, it's a show. So you can format your podcast either way you like. A lot of people, like, let's say like ours, we do like maybe an hour to 45 minutes of us just talking. It'd be like 45 minutes of us just talking, of going over the news, fight breakdowns. And then we will do an interview like this and include this into our podcast. And you know, cut to it midway through, come back to the podcast type of thing. There's other people that could do short form podcasts where they're 15 minutes and then an interview.
It's up to you on how you want to do it. More comfortable for you.
And you could do a podcast. You could do a YouTube channel. And what we've done is that we're mainly a podcast. And when we go to an event, we will do on camera interviews. And we'll, for our YouTube channels, but also for our podcast, where we take that audio or video and include that into our podcast.
Because we have video and audio only.
So that's something to consider too, where you can develop your own podcast show or YouTube channel. And if you're going to an event, and let's say you're freelancing, it's your own, it's your video, it's your footage, it's all owned by you. You can take that and put that into whatever your outlet is.
Yeah,
you know, that's what we do. Yeah. And how we do it, because we've done some writing, but we handle social media and we do interviews at events.
Yeah.
And then we incorporate that into our podcast and our YouTube channels. Mm-hmm.
How did you think of the writing? Like, did you like it, or was it just time consuming?
It's distracting from the fights, from actually watching the fights, but,
right.
But I don't know. It's a challenge. It's getting used to. I haven't done too much of it. We have friends that are actually from Toronto.
Yeah.
Post Wrestling. You should check them out. They're really great. Waiting and John Pollock.
Yeah, they're forming at the Fight Network on TSN.
Yeah. Who we've
got. Oh, wow.
Business. And you'll see that the business is very small. Like, you'll see a lot of people over and over again.
Yeah.
Those guys from Toronto. Kind of cool. They actually put our writing on their site.
Yeah, so we wrote cool. The writing has been mainly for their site. So
that's cool. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, at least you have that, yeah, you know, with you as well. Yeah. You know, that you wrote, and that's an interesting thing to write. But I don't know if I would do that, right?
Yeah, it's not something that we prefer. Yeah. But I don't know what you've considered as other, you know, means of being in this business. Have you considered any of that stuff? I don't know.
Yeah, what I really find interesting is I always go back to bloggers, right? Like, why do people want to look into their lives, right? I kind of want to make my channel like that. I still want to stick to the camera and on camera videos, or, you know, personal interviews, person to person. So podcast would be an interesting thing. But again, I'm really bad with tech. So, and I just know how to press record and that's it.
Yeah.
So I think I kind of want to make it like this still, kind of like, but I don't know if I should make my own channel per se. You know what I mean? Like, how you guys have your own Instagram and have your own YouTube.
I think you should.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you should.
Just because so people can you know, follow you and know more about you. Just put yourself out there, and I'm sure by a month or so you have a bunch of followers,
you know. And it doesn't take a lot of, financially it's not very expensive.
Yeah,
it's really on your time.
Yeah.
And it's just more outlets to get your stuff out there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
see what hits, see what doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like the main goal is really to be with, like, of course, be the main presenter for a bigger promotion, or main commentator for a bigger promotion. But, you know, seeing with UFC, it's very limited, right? They have their own talents.
Yeah.
So it's just finding the right, again, sports channel or MMA organization to take you on as a talent. And that's, I think, the hardest thing right now is to become a talent, certain talent for that company. Yes. Just like being a model, to be the certain look for that certain catalog, Adidas, Nike, do you fit the look? I think that's the struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where you ultimately want to be. And I think honestly, I think you're on your way to being doing that and being there, because I think you have everything that you would need to be, and obviously, and like we were saying, the natural ability on camera work mm-hmm. that you have, that we've seen, we've noticed.
Yeah,
I think it's there. I think you're well on your way.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, guys. I think it's just knowing how to talk, because again, English is not my first language, so I do find it difficult to speak English fluently.
You sound just fine. I understand every word. It's a yeah.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Like, if I could speak Filipino,
let's do it.
So, yeah. And that's another interesting thing too. Like, I want to also expand into Asia and into the Filipino MMA community. Yeah. Again, it's super small there too, so it's hard to.
You have one championship who's out in Manila and a lot of, the Philippines, quite a lot.
Exactly. That would be amazing to be.
Yeah, like we had the owner, right, of one on our show.
Yeah, yeah.
What, really?
Yeah, no. We've had a few championship people. Yeah, yeah. Victor Cui. Uh-huh. He's been on here a few times.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I think you're what you've experienced so far. And I mean, hopefully, you know, the people watching or listening that are even thinking about going into this, because we don't see ourselves as, we still see ourselves as learning and experiencing new things and still going through the struggle of making our name in this sport. Business, yeah. And I think someone in your position who's we've been there too, I think and I think it's good to hear from people like you too that are also in the beginning, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And you guys, what's like your main goal, to become like a Area Hawaii MMA show kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so. Pretty much, that's our thing. Yeah, that's our ultimate goal, is to have a place to where we can just hang out with each other and talk to fighters, and that's,
you get paid for it.
Can you have your special guests and like we'll all drink beer?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, yes. Exactly. I would bring you on as our. Yeah. Absolutely.
Actually, Ariel. he promised me he'd be on the show.
We're still trying to get Ariel. Every time we see the guy, we're still trying to get him on the show. But yeah. But yeah, that's
he's
our ultimate
so cool,
goal.
Though.
He is a very, very nice, very cool in person. Yeah. He definitely
Canadian
is.
Canadian as well.
Yeah. So that's our ultimate goal, is to have our own, have this show or some form of it.
And get paid for it.
Be like.
Yeah.
Full-time gig. Yeah, that'll be our full-time. Full-time.
Exactly. Exactly. Definitely. I think payment and, you know, in the media as well, I think that's an important topic as well. Like, as people know who's watching this, like a lot of these things at the beginning, you start for free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You have to
be willing to
not get paid,
to be okay with that.
Yeah.
And then that could go on for
years.
It could go on for months. It could go on. You never know. It again, everybody's story is going to be different. And so I think, but everybody has to be, you have to be realistic in terms of, and what to expect when you go into it.
Exactly.
That could be anything in life.
Yeah. And what does your fiance feel about your pursuits?
He loves it, because he gets to watch the you know, the live fights at times, you know, depending on the media, if it's
too
crowded.
You can bring him with you, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I bring him with me. But he talks like the doctor that he is. So he's like, well, his femur is going to break or whatever. I'm just like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah. Enjoy the fights.
Has he considered being the on-site physician? Is that something he's ever considered?
He actually is, yeah. So he spoke to the SBG's doctor. He's an emergency physician. And my fiance was like, oh my God, I'd be so interested in doing that. So actually, he is looking into it.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing. Yeah. Then we could just work in the fight. So that would
be
pretty.
A camera guy. He could be holding the camera for you.
Exactly. He's out there saving lives.
Yeah. Right. Does he offer you any advice of like any words of encouragement when you're deciding what does?
Sorry,
you
broke up.
Okay. Has he offered any advice and any words of encouragement while you're pursuing this? Has he been like, oh no, keep going?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, he's been really great at like supporting me to keep going. And, you know, there are times, as you said, there's always ups and downs with everything, right? Yeah. You know, there's sometimes there's fights that you're supposed to go report, but then something happens, you know, life happens.
Yeah, we've had that before.
As we all know, it like quarantine. Did we all know quarantine was going to happen? No, let me tell you. No, yeah, I was supposed to be reporting at an event, and it's like, whew, done. Yeah. So there goes.
We've had almost anything and everything happen already to us. Like, you go to an event, and then the batteries aren't charged in the camera, or you forget something at home, or you know, something like there's always something.
Or one person can come in, and one person can go inside the arena, and the other person can't.
Oh yes. Yes, we've had that before. So, okay, so one of the crazier stories, it was a UFC, it was...
when Bisping fought Rockhold for the middleweight championship.
UFC...
199.
Yes. So, we were credentialed. We luckily got credentialed for that event. And for some promotions, it's a little easier to get credentialed, but obviously for the UFC and big events, it's
tough.
They're a lot more selective, and they should be. But the UFC is especially tough. And there's one person in particular, I'm not going to name them, that is is not the friendliest on that side, on the PR side.
When it comes managing, to us.
Yeah. So.
What did you guys do to this person? Give him
nothing
beer.
Nothing at all.
Just give them beer.
This is how this person is. So we were given credentials for this event, but they only granted one.
Yeah. So Dana said only one of us.
We spoke with Dana the night before at a RFA. I think he was at RFA. And so we were like, hey, we're going to cover the event tomorrow. And like, you know, and it was kind of a last minute credential, but he okayed it. And that's kind of what we had to do. We approached him. We're like, we're having trouble getting credentials for this event. And he's like, oh yeah, no, just, and he, I told him, you know, I worked with him the summer before. And he's like, yeah, just talk to so-and-so, you'll get in. I'm like, okay, it's not that easy. I'm going to tell him that Dana White said to go and, you know, you're in.
But so, that's what we told him. We said Dana White gave us the okay.
So eventually we got the green light, gave us credential. But then this other person decided that they're only going to give us one credential. So what we did was we flipped a coin in the parking lot.
Well, a police officer,
in the cover of working the event was like, and we were like, hey, do you mind flipping this coin for us? Because, you know, I don't want to be the one, you know, because someone's going to have to go in and someone's going to have to stay out. And then he won the coin toss and he went in.
My God.
And then I don't know if you're familiar with so it was a big event. It was when, I think, was it Brock Lesnar?
So that night they had a promo of Brock Lesnar returning to the UFC.
Okay.
But an hour before, Errol Hawani kind of broke the news.
And he got in trouble.
I was backstage with Ariel. We were talking. We were both watching the fights.
He saw it all happening.
Dana comes to the door, tells Ariel to get to leave. That he has
kicks
to leave.
Him out of the arena.
All gets his credentials. Esther Lin, who worked for MMA Fighting.
She was a photographer.
Also got kicked out. So I was there when all this happened.
All this happened.
The next day.
Wait. How did Ariel break the news? Through Twitter?
Twitter, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And he did it before the UFC announced it. So. Yeah.
And the UFC likes to control, like, the narrative in terms of, like, their info.
Of course.
So the next day, it became a big media news story that Ariel got his credentials taken away, you know. And I was, fortunately for me, I was there to witness the whole thing in person.
Yeah. So the funny thing was that he won the coin toss. He went in, and he wasn't familiar with working with the camera work or like some of the technical side. Because I kind of was a little bit more familiar with the technical side. So I showed him he had a crash course in working all the camera work and the buttons to press and all that stuff. And then he goes in there. I told him just ask the media guys, you know, the people that we with before, just ask. Ask them around. I'm sure they're familiar with this equipment. So that's what he had to do too.
Yeah. So Ariel was there to help me out. And Ariel's camera guy helped me out too. So it was good.
Oh, that's so cool, guys. Oh, you guys are so cool. I want to meet Dana White. I want to meet Ariel. I've never even been to a live UFC fight. Can you believe that?
As media, they're fun. But it's super difficult, at least for us. Unless you're a part of you know, circle, a big,
like,
I'd say a big outlet.
Yeah.
A decent sized outlet, like a media, like a website or something like that. That would be your for sure way.
And yeah.
I think. But yeah, no, that's a media, story right yeah. there.
Yeah. So funny, guys.
Yeah, yeah. So funny. And I'm sure it depends on the route you take. You'll have situations like that come up. So
I hope I don't have to flip a coin or Dana White kicking me out. Yeah. Dana White, don't kick me out. Yeah, we're cool. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I feel like we've been talking too much.
Yeah.
No, I want to learn about it. It's a two-way yeah. conversation.
It's okay. Okay. All right.
And like you guys are like mentors, you know, you're teaching me about the ways, you know, and for somebody who also is watching this, want to become like you guys, it's cool.
And I think for your route, it's obviously a different path that you're going to end up taking than us. And you're going to come across different challenges, and you're probably going to have to ask a lot of other people, like, you know, coming up with the reel and, you know, getting more and more on camera, cage side work. I think that's where it's at for you, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And what I found as well is the thing with European kind of promotions as well, they look for certain accents, which I found was actually quite interesting. You know, there are other promotions that prefer a British accent or you know, a neutralized Canadian, so that was interesting to me. That
that's kind of crazy.
So it's I'll be hard for like someone with a more of an ethnic background like yourself or us or whatever, like to you know, where English isn't the first language or you're not from that particular area, to break in. That's a struggle that I think some people watching, like maybe that they're barely breaking into it, may not consider as an obstacle.
Exactly.
It's definitely an eye opener. You know, I didn't know that it was gonna take effect, but you know, it is what it is. So
yeah, it's just I guess it's just another struggle. It's another part of the journey that a hurdle that does make you stronger, I guess, and more knowledgeable about what to, you know,
exactly
pass on all this knowledge to other people.
Right.
For sure. Yeah, and it's just the way you think of life, right? Just you know, fighters are so mentally strong already, so you just kind of have to think the way they think as well. You know, they go through so many struggles, you know, in the gym, sparring, everything, weight cutting. Can't even imagine that, you know, so it's just how you take on life, really.
And what's your prediction for how events are going to go on forward? Like, especially with media, like for us, it's like, or yourself, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge to going forward now.
Absolutely. I think, nowadays, I think what I predict, there's more Zoom interviews happen.
Yeah.
And we need to embrace Zoom now.
Yeah.
For those media outlets that are not yet, and you know, they're quite traditional, I think they need to get on Zoom meetings. Before, actually, when I started it as well, it was mainly Skype back in the day when people were using Skype.
Yeah. We still kind of use Skype every
day.
Yeah. Skype is great. Skype is free.
Skype is great. So it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
Which maybe another reason, well, the events are down, to consider a YouTube channel or podcast for yourself. I think people can go. It's another, get that going while this whole COVID thing is, and then, you know, once events pick up back up, you can go.
That
and
just, could be cool. But then it's just me and a screen talking as well, like for like a whole 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
At least you guys, there's two of you. That's why a podcast works with two people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
true.
But Eric does a web show. He used to do a web show. I know he does a DC.
Yeah.
I mean, Ariel has guests, and you know.
He has guests, yeah.
So if like I was just one person, this is the thing, how do I make it entertaining for fans or knowledgeable for, you know, those that are just new to MMA.
With, like, different so, like,
I'm new
segments.
Yeah. You know, and I think interviews, the interviews that you do are really fun and entertaining. So I think it's just doing more of those, getting those out there. I think that's plenty good enough, because what you're doing is you're putting out exactly what the fans want to see. We do the podcast part. part of podcast, so people may not necessarily always want to listen to what we have to say or care that much about what's going on in MMA. They just want to listen to whoever the guest is and what they want to say, or maybe they so you're giving them the dessert is basically what you're saying. So you could think of it that way. You're giving them just dessert. And then
just dessert. Here you go.
Yeah,
guys.
Here you go. No entrees, no other sides, you know, like we do.
Just straight sugar.
yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh my God. Sorry.
No, go.
How did you find that that's what the fans wanted? That's what they were telling you, or like just the ratings and the views?
Oh yeah, it's the views. You see how the numbers go up or down, yeah. or you know, when depending on who's on, the numbers will go up or the, you know, it's stuff like that. Who were able to get on the show?
Because you separate our interview with the show. Like, we have the whole show format on YouTube, but then we also like take away just the interview part. And we've noticed that people watch the interview part more than the whole show.
Yeah. Oh. And it's, obviously that's it's kind of common sense stuff. Yeah. It's like, I know they're going to want to listen and to be interested in who the person is and watch the interview more so than the rest of the show. But the rest of the show is part of what we do. And that gives our ability to kind of.
And surprisingly, our most viewed interviews are jiu-jitsu guys from the jiu-jitsu world.
That's another thing.
No way.
Jiu-jitsu community.
More than MMA fighters.
MMA community is not necessarily, I mean, I know it's a very viral kind of sport, but the jiu-jitsu community, I give them credit. They really support their people by watching videos and interviews and stuff like that.
I'm telling you, like in the thousands.
Jiu-jitsu, jiu-jitsu is if you I don't know, immerse yourself in jiu-jitsu and in that world, you can develop a decent fan base, I think.
Yeah.
Wow, that's I didn't even think of that well.
Yeah. So that's what we've noticed. But we like all sports, we talk to everybody and everybody and anybody and everybody. So it's media people like yourself, fighters, kickboxers, boxers, jiu-jitsu guys. Because we like to talk to everybody. We like to get we want to limit ourselves and all that. But you know what? It's also find your niche, find where you want to go.
Exactly. I kind of want to be like a Megan O'Leary, of course, an Asian Megan O'Leary, but like an Asian Oprah at the same time.
Awesome. There you go. You'll be the go-to, like where people just want to come on your show. I think you'll be the Asian Oprah-ish female Era Hawani. There you go. Or Megan O'Leary.
Right? That would be great. That'd be like, and we can talk about fun things, like nothing scandalous. Like, just fun. I just want to get to know you.
Like, you can do things that you like do segments on fashion and do segments on whatever you like, plus, you know, mixing MMA.
Especially when you talk to the female fighters or even the male fighters, you know, like, because I like looking at a lot of the European fighters. Their style is just way better than American fighters. They've always in track suits, or they're always like in like cool vests, or like
they are, yeah, you know, they dress really well.
Or they have, it matches their car. Yeah. I don't know. It's just I don't know. It's just all this. They just look more stylish. And American fighters, a lot of them are more like blue collar working, you know, rugged, you know, I don't know. T-shirt wearing people.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like
that was my, believe it or not, the first time I met Royce Gracie in Bellator London. Of course, everybody knew who Royce was, and everyone was asking questions about these important like UFC one, all these things, legend. You know, the first thing I asked him, and he'll never forget this, and that's why, like, he's amazing. And I asked him, how did you get your skin so clear? Because I want to know how to get my skin clear.
Oh wow, that's funny.
What did he say?
He was just like, honey. That was it.
Oh my God. That's funny.
So yeah, as we said, bring in fashion, skincare, you know, just all the things.
Yeah. That, it doesn't have to be just fighting. It could be like whatever you like mixed in with fighting.
You want them to be comfortable like you would want to be comfortable, I think. And enjoy and have a good time. Yeah.
For sure. Exactly.
All right. It's been really a pleasure talking with you and getting to know you. I would definitely we'll definitely want to have you on again, break down some fights, have some fight talk and all that. Let people know where you are on social media and where they can find you and all that.
Yeah, so guys, check out Miss Esavan. It's my Instagram. I just started it, so sorry if there's not a lot of content, but I am working on it. And, you know, you guys have inspired me to start, like, a YouTube channel and stuff, so that would be really cool, too.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That's great. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
And seeing your progression, I think it's just going to very fun seeing it. So.
If you have any advice or any questions, just hit us up. And
we're always available.
Absolutely, absolutely. It'd be amazing. I want to have like clips of this too to post on mine.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, yeah, do what you want.
You guys are so good because you really structure it well and you make like the interviewee comfortable.
Thank you. We try.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Vanessa, you have a good day.
All right, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Or night.
Thank you, guys. All right, bye.
Take care. Bye. Bye.
And that was Vanessa Campos. Make sure you check her Instagram, all her social media. Look out for her YouTube channel that she'll probably be starting soon, maybe even a podcast. Because all in all, this whole COVID thing is shutting everything down, so we got to innovate. So I think someone with her skills and her looks. Personality, her looks... I think she'll be fine, but she seems like a hard worker and looking to, you know, absorb all as much information as she can. And we were in the same boat.
Yeah.
Just learning on the fly and.
Yeah. Like we had no mentors. We kind of just did everything.
Yeah. And we never really had to give our, we've shared information with people, but we've never had to, no one's ever asked us too much about advice because we actually came up with a lot of people that are still doing it now. So it's nice to be able to
be like an OG.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
I think so.
And to share our stories.
Because the many people that we see them all the time.
Yeah, and there's
the past 5 years we've seen the same guys.
And there's some people that are new that, you know, maybe have different backgrounds and they know a little bit more than us or I don't know what, but we've been in it for 5 years now. Yeah.
And it's crazy because like it's been 5 years, but you get those medium guys, they're like the ESPN guys who don't know who we are still after 5 years.
Yeah.
Or you don't know our names, don't even bother to say hi.
Yeah. That's another thing. She's in it. We didn't even talk about that. We didn't even talk about egos.
Yeah.
Egos is a big thing. And that comes with athletes and media members.
Yeah.
And people working in the promotion that think they're on this pedestal.
Yeah.
And you're going to run into those people and then you're going to run into.
I think the worst are the media members who put themselves on a big pedestal, but they're nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Or anybody. You could do the fighters, you could do promoters or. PR people or whoever that just think their shit don't
stink. Why can't you just be nice? Like be a nice human being.
Yeah.
And just be nice to anyone, whether it be a rookie or a veteran.
Yeah.
You treat people with respect and be nice. How about that? Like, how can you do that?
That's going to be a thing that I think any media person going into it is going to experience, and they're going to experience these people that just don't give a shit about you.
Like, I'm sorry, but like if we ever get big, I'm not going to change.
No, I hope not. No, I don't think so. I mean,
no reason to.
Because, you know, with like even
because I've been there before.
And how we are with her, you know, she's new to the game, but, you know, she's taking a different path, but we can at least. Yeah, and we can at least give her some information and what to do.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So people are people, and you're going to come across many personalities, and the MMA community is small.
Very,
on all levels.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good people, though. All right, that was our interview with Vanessa Campos, so make sure you follow her. Let's get to the card this weekend. ESPN 11, Blades Volkov. You have Bobby Green on the card versus Clay Guida. You have Tisha Torres on the card. You have Courtney Casey on the card. You have Frank Camacho on the card. Lauren Murphy on the card. Main card, you have Jim Miller versus Roosevelt Roberts. You have Lyman Good versus Bella Muhammad. You have Raquel Pennington versus Marianne Renault. And Shane Burgos versus Josh Emmett is your co-main event. In the main event, you have Curtis Blaydes versus Alexander Volkov. First off, before we do our picks, what do you think this does more for these fighters if they were to win? Who gets more of a bump up? I would say Volkov, no?
Oh, definitely Volkov,
Because Curtis Blaydes has been...
He's been on a row?
By like Francis Ngannou twice in a row, so it's kind of hard to get over that.
I think he's also covered more.
Yeah.
So I think Volkov gets his what's the word I'm thinking about? You know, like when
he gets the rub more.
The rub, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he gets pushed up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
if Curtis Blaze wins, I don't think he moves. No. It doesn't move his needle up. No,
just because not a lot of people know who Volkov is.
Yeah. Matt, have you said who you think wins?
I think Curtis Blaze wins.
I think so too. Yeah. I think his mindset, he's lost twice in Ngannou. Those are embarrassing losses.
But he's improved. But he's improved tremendously.
And he's been more aggressive each and every time.
His wrestling is just like for being a heavyweight.
And just aggressive wrestler.
Awesome. He's an awesome wrestler. Yeah.
Big guy, light on his feet.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough for Volkov, who I think is still a talented fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, go the same thing. I see Curtis Blaydes wins. I don't think it moves him up, really. I think he will probably fight someone like a Derek Lewis or some type of heavyweight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be nice to see Anthony Johnson versus Curtis Blaydes.
The good thing about the heavyweight division is that you don't have to win so many fights to get a title shot. So. Yeah.
So yeah, that's this weekend from Las Vegas, Apex Arena on ESPN. We'll be watching that probably together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely, yeah.
And we'll catch you guys all next week. Make sure you follow and like, subscribe, watch past shows, and
all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Support. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.